He's blunt, but he's fair. This is Drew Berquist, former counterterrorism officer, realist, and host of This Is My Show, which starts now.
All right, here we go. It's a new week. It's a new day. It's all those things. It's new something. We hope you had a great weekend. I'm Drew Berquist. This is my show. And thanks, by the way, to all the folks who have joined the locals community behind the membership wall. There's a lot of you who keep joining in there. That's been awesome to see. Super grateful I am, the whole team is, that we have supporters like you, but also that we get to spend more time with you in more close-up, intimate type setting. You know what I'm saying? Great numbers, by the way, too. I mean, we had, I think, twice as many people in our smaller booze and banter setting that we've been doing over there on Friday. Hopefully that continues to grow. Go over to drewberquist.locals.com. Get signed up now so you don't miss any of the fun. Disco, how was your weekend?
It was good. Actually, again, surprise, I took the weekend off from doing work, and then it was nice and relaxing.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Like, what do people do with their weekends? I know absolutely nothing. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a lot of stuff done around the house with the fam. Because I don't know how to just relax, so I just came up with projects to do. I don't know if any of them were actually helpful, but got some stuff done. It was good. Hopefully you guys had a good political-free weekend as well. And let's get into, this is not political, but let's get into question of the day. So I was reading an article yesterday about one of these two, and then it led me to read about the other guy, both of which you all know very well. We all grew up watching movies from each of them. So the question is this. Obviously, we could go into a bunch of different people. Maybe we'll do that a different day. But who is the better old school action star of these two? Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone? Sly or Arnold? Tough question. Tough question. Did you send your answers in? Today's show is powered by MyPillow. Guys, the best products. You're going to get your best sleep, all of it, over at MyPillow.com. You can use promo code Drew to save up to 66%. They have partnered with the show. They are great friends of the show. There's amazing deals coming up for Memorial Day. There's been the slippers deal going on. There's all sorts of stuff happening. So go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code Drew. You can save huge on slippers, up to 66% on almost everything else they have. So go check it out. Again, they're huge supporters of us. So it's important that you guys go and support them in return. Again, MyPillow.com. Use promo code Drew. Okay. Monthly listener contest. Guys, an update on this. So we've got people coming in and doing the monthly listener contest, right? And you can go to DrewBerquist.com. You can click on listener contest and enter. We can pop up on the screen here how you do it. Basically, what you have to do, and the links are on the website that I just showed you. It's going to be on social and stuff like that as well. But you go to iTunes. You search Drew Berquist, or you search This Is My Show with Drew Berquist. You find it. And then you give a review and subscribe. You take a picture with your phone or your computer, and you send that in to producer@redbeachmedia.com. All that information is on the screen. All of that information is on drewberquist.com. Go do it. Here's the deal, though. There's been a decent response, but we need more people to do it, guys. You can win $150 in Red Beach Nation merch swag for free. It's all free. You get to pick whatever shirts you want, variety of shirts. You can get a bunch of the same and give them out to friends. Go do like a girls retreat together, a guys golf thing, whatever. You could win $150. Here's the other thing. If you get someone else who maybe doesn't watch the show, have some friends do it too, guys. If they mention your name in the email, we'll put your name in again. We'll do that for every person who sends it in. So if you've got a bunch of family members, what, Disco?
An extra ticket?
You get an extra ticket. Yeah. So why not do it? Tell your friends and family members just to do it. If they win and they don't want it for some reason, they can give you the prize. But also, when they send stuff in, if they put your name in, we'll put your name in once again. So, food for thought. Just a thought. You guys can enter multiple times if you do it that way. Okay, let's get to your responses. Sly. Lots of Sly over on Facebook and YouTube. Wow, I'm kind of surprised actually how Sly heavy it is over there.
Ginger says Stallone.
Okay. Judy says Stallone. Texas Shelby Stallone. Hassam's Arnold, Love Him in True Lies. True Lies is an underrated movie. It's a great
trying
movie.
Trying to cheer me up.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
I don't know why, I was literally reading lines from that movie this morning, and it's like, you know, she left me, and I come home, the house is completely empty. I open up the freezer, she took out the ice cream trays. What kind of bitch takes the ice cream trays? Like,
that's a good movie. That's like before Tom Arnold really came off the rails publicly. Behind the scenes, he probably was then too. But oh man, that was a great movie.
Can't live with him, can't kill him.
Bill Paxton's got a great role in that too. He's underrated there. I never have liked Jamie Lee Curtis. I'm just not a big fan. People who are here for the first time listening to the show, they're like, "When are you going to talk about the news?" We'll get there, I promise. But this ties into the question of the day. So Stallone, another one from who did I just say? I guess you already said. I already said Ginger. Kasim said Arnold. Jerusalem said Arnold. So Sly, I mean, pretty much dominated that.
Yeah.
I would have thought the opposite. I honestly would have thought the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to get off on a wild tangent, but, like, what's your favorite Stallone movie?
Well, I mean, the Rambos are tough to beat.
Yeah. So get away from Rambo and Rocky, because obviously those two.
Yeah. If you take those out, I think Cobra was good, Tango and Cash was good.
Like Daybreak, that was a good one.
That was pretty good. That's not like well, I mean, it's an action film. That's like a...
It's like a I mean, they're stuck in a tunnel underneath, yeah, you know, river, you know.
So I'd have to go with probably Tango and Cash or Cobra for non-Rocky or non-Rambo Stallone films. Maybe I'm missing one off the top of my head. But I think that's my thought. Why? What's your... Are you going Daybreak?
I'm going Daybreak. I don't know why. I remember seeing it when I was young, and I just like loved it. Just a great suspenseful movie. Are they gonna make it out? All that stuff. It just, who would have thought sticking, you know, 25 people in a tunnel would get suspenseful? But they did a good job with it. You know.
So. Yeah. Well, I would have just thought that Arnold would have won this. I think I would choose Arnold. I like Stallone a lot, but when you have Arnold, you've got the Terminator films, you've got Predator, you've got True Lies, you've got some other, you know, less high performing stuff, but some, you know, oldies but goodies. It's close. It's
Bubby Bunkers from Last Action Hero.
that was a movie. That was something. I don't know. That's tough. That's a tough call. Tough call. Heat. There's some good ones. That's a tough one. All right, but again, you guys chose Stallone, so that was the winner today without a shadow of a doubt. Okay, let's get into actual show stuff now. The Dow's on quite a skid. Has not been on this bad of a skid since 1923. Good job, Joe. Keeps crushing it. Setting all the wrong records. 8 weeks in a row. It's been going the wrong direction. You know what else is going in the wrong direction? Everything, pretty much. I mean, the answer to that's everything. And we dodged a temporary bullet. And I say temporary for a reason, with the Ministry of Truth being paused and Nina Jankowicz resigning. We talked about it last week, but real quick, here was her on that.
I have to ask you, Nina, I mean, this is, many people are wondering about the idea of what was the purpose of this particular, you know, organization and what you were doing and overseeing, because if there were questions and concerns about the very tactics or the goals, why was that not communicated effectively?
Well, you know, I understand Americans' concerns about the idea of government getting involved in policing speech. But the good news is the board had nothing to do with policing speech. The idea was that the board was going to be an internal coordinating mechanism, making sure that DHS subcomponents, things like CBP, Customs and Border Patrol, FEMA, which deals with natural disasters, you know, all of these components within DHS were equipped with the tools they needed to continue the work to fight disinformation that they've been doing for more than a decade already. This absolutely could and should have been communicated better. I wanted it to be communicated better. But the reality is that the type of disinformation that DHS is charged with combating or addressing is stuff that keeps Americans safe and secure.
Okay. So, I mean, look, Democrats always have to lie about their actual motives. We know that. If they didn't, none of their ideas would ever take flight. They just wouldn't. They wouldn't get off the ground. Their plans would all die if most Americans knew the truth and what they were trying to do. And don't think for a second that this is going anywhere. Yes, we've paused it. Yes, it was never going to be bad. We promise. Yes, Nina Jankowicz sang her way off the stage and she's done. She resigned. But as we discussed on Booze and Banter Friday, albeit really briefly, Michael Chertoff has been brought in to spy on domestic terrorists. He's going to lead the disinformation board now. That appointment is an admission that both career Democrats and Republicans are on the same team. It's a huge, should be, a huge middle finger to those of us who had reservations about the Patriot Act being used against American citizens. Again, it was put in by during W's time, and it made sense at the time for what it was being used for. But now what it's being used for, now what we're talking about is an entirely different story. I mean, the power of the intel community and all the weight behind them, they can now use their resources to spy on citizens. And if you play it out, they could go, I mean, I'm going to be outlandish here for a second. But if you play this out with what they're talking about doing, certainly what they want to do, they would be involved in monitoring U.S. citizens, which has never been the intel community's charter. Their charter is overseas. Getting politicians and U.S. government leaders the information they need to make decisions, not targeting Americans. Now they could target Americans. Hell, they could drone strike somebody if they deem them as an enemy combatant. Now, again, am I being extreme there? Yes, I am, on purpose. For now, that's where we are. We're being extreme for now. But we're talking about the potential elimination of the Fourth Amendment. We didn't think it was a big deal when Obama drone-striked Anwar al-Awlaki. Usually I nail those names. That's the work I used to do. Who was an American jihadist, if you remember, in Yemen. And I agreed with it. I agreed with it at the time. And I still, in the case of that very specific incident, still agree. If you abandon your country, you deserve to die. That's just my thoughts. But for the government types that want to overhaul this country, you could argue that that strike sets the precedent that our own government could kill one of its own citizens with no due process if some of these other radical policies get through. Again, you could use the Patriot Act for the wrong things. Maybe that's what they wanted originally, but it had been used for the right purposes before. Now you can use it this way. Now you could do this. Now you could do that. You see where I'm going. And with all of this, remember, these people do not like you. These elected officials do not like you. They don't like this country. So while it seems outlandish to some now, just wait a few days. Wait a few days. Because it's a scary time and place. Well, hell, what we're going to talk about in D-Block today, later on in the show, second hour, with what's happening right now in Davos, what's been happening each and every year in Davos leading up to this point. These are scary times, my friends. They just are. They just are. But we'll come back to that. Then we've seen Elon Musk, just real quick, I want to touch on this. We've seen Elon Musk get angry with Biden, right? He's now angry with Hillary Clinton. Because remember, he used to be a Democrat. Remember also, last week, the day he said that he was going to vote Republican, that the 24 hours later, they started smearing him about sexual harassment charges and claims. No coincidence there, right? But he's mad at Clinton because he donated to her, and he didn't know, and he's upset, like a lot of other people on that side of the aisle, or let's say people who were a little bit more centrist in their thinking, because he gave money and she clearly lied to the American people. Now, we've all known that for a long time. So welcome to the party, pal. But this is something that he's pissed about now. Anyways, more on Hillary and B-Block. We're going to talk about her and everything that happened Friday, because a lot happened. But now you can add Jeff Bezos to the list of people who are frustrated with Biden, because he fired back at the president in the White House after they repeated their absurd claim that taxing the rich would fix inflation and lower consumer costs. Neither, of course, are true. The administration responded to Bezos by saying this, quote, "It doesn't require a huge leap to figure out why one of the wealthiest individuals on earth opposes an economic agenda for the middle class, for the biggest cost middle class that cuts some of the biggest costs families face, fights inflation for the long haul, and adds to the historic deficit reduction the president is achieving by asking the richest taxpayers and corporations to pay their fair share. So they got a little personal with Bezos there, right? Bezos also said that, quote, raising corporate taxes is fine to discuss. Taming inflation is critical to discuss. But mushing them together is just misdirection. So look, is he a Republican? No, of course he's not. Is he on our side? No. But he's right in this case. Bezos is right in this case, and good for him for pushing back on this absurd and laughable administration. I mean, the fact that they continue to say these things. Hey, we're just going to tax the wealthy, and then this will take care of all the problems we're facing right now. Problems that, by the way, we created that even a fourth grader could tell you that this plan makes no sense. It's ridiculous. Then, like all the inflation stuff we're dealing with, all the crises that we are facing, this administration has also purposefully allowed yet another problem to fester. And on to baby formula we go. Shelves have been bare at you got major stores like Target, Walmart, all those big brick and mortar stores across the country. Grocery stores. Shelves have been bare. Limits put in place for the ones that have stuff. And note, as we've pointed out before, that shelves are not bare at the southwest border in the storage depots that are there for illegal immigrants. Illegal being the key word. People who are not supposed to be here. But this administration is welcoming in record numbers, sending them on taxpayer dollars on a trip wherever they want to go in the country, telling them, hey, just check in with ICE when you get there, as if that's going to happen. And they've got plenty. We showed you a video last week. They've got plenty of baby formula there. But that makes perfect sense, right, with this administration and the radical left party that wants to overthrow our constitutional republic. This is something they knew was coming. The baby shortage, baby formula shortage. They knew it was coming for some time. And they did nothing, like any of the other problems that we're facing right now, they did nothing to fix it before it became a national crisis. If anything, they did things that ensured that it would become a national crisis, which is typical of socialists and communists. Create a problem so the government can be seen as fixing it. Let Uncle Sam come in and help. We'll do it. And then in doing so, they're making such claims. Both the person managing Biden's Twitter account, because we know he's not, he can't even log into the damn thing, and the White House tweeted this, two separate tweets here. We'll put one up. First one here, this is from Biden, who says, folks, I'm excited to tell you. Can we keep that one up?
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's right. He says, folks, I'm excited to tell you. Okay, this is the White House one. You're jumbling it up, but there we go. Folks, I'm excited to tell you.
The TriCaster started doing stuff.
That the first flight from Operation Fly Formula is loaded up with more than 70,000 pounds of infant formula and about to land in Indiana. Our team is working around the clock to get safe formula to everyone who needs it. Then this is the White House's tweet. More infant formula is on the way. The first pallets from at POTUS Operation Fly Formula are being loaded onto a military plane in Germany right now. The first plane lands in the U.S. tomorrow morning, with more coming soon. So those are the tweets. So as a recap, as you look at all of this stuff, right, just so we're really clear, this administration, this Democrat Party, let's say, created the mess in Afghanistan, the whole crisis and debacle that was the withdrawal, the biggest international blunder of our lifetime. And then tried to spin it around and claim success with an airlift that was also an absolute disaster. But they keyed on that point a ton. But look at the airlift. Look, but people got killed. We left Americans there. We left Afghan partners there. We let the Taliban take over the country. By the way, we shared intel with the Taliban after they took over the country. But then you just, like, it was a resounding success. Did you see the airlift? Then you fast forward, and now you create a baby formula crisis, or you don't stop the baby formula crisis, and you're claiming success yet again by sending some pallets in this hilarious operation you're doing, which, by the way, at least to start, the pallets are not going to stores, so you're not going to see these ones that are coming in their save-the-day airlift on the shelves of Target or Walmart or your local grocery store. They're going to hospitals and other care facilities. It's, guys, it's maddening what's happening, how they do this, and how some people go along with it. Like, great job, Joe. You, I mean, you see what he did? He put a bunch of baby formula on planes. He's bringing it into America. Guys, there are so many other ways you could have fixed this. First of all, you didn't ever need to let it get to this point. Second of all, you could fix it other ways. The world's laughing at us right now. We're having stuff delivered to America from foreign partners because we can't get our shit together. It's all the more reason that everyone's laughing at us. We talked about this Friday too. They're laughing because he's been in East Asia this week, President Biden. He called the South Korean president while saying how important the partnership was. He called him the wrong name. And also
dang
did
up,
this.
Dang
up
the job.
I mean, man. So he calls him the wrong name. And I don't remember if this is before meeting Yoon or if it was after in the next leg of his trip. But look at this. This is confusing. Watch Joe here. Okay, there's no necessarily words here. But just watch Joe and see if this makes sense to you. Okay, so that's the main part of it there. So he's for those of you listening to the podcast, he's coming down Air Force One, he's coming down the stairs of Air Force One, and he's wearing a mask outside while he's not close to any other human being. Again, for a virus that's not really a threat. Then he gets off the stairs, approaches another human, at which point he removes his mask. Wait, well, let me make sure I'm within 6 feet, and there it is. This is the smile right here. How does that make any sense? I mean, that's the opposite, right, Disco, of what we were told?
Oh, 100%. The only thing I could think of is if he was like, I don't trust those people on the planes. It's the press corps and everything. I don't trust those guys. it makes no sense because we're told to have our mask on when we're with people. And when we're, it's just maddening.
None of it makes sense whatsoever. I mean, it's just absolute. It is all show, Junior, right? But in this case, he did the show backwards. It's like someone gave him the script. Now make sure you do this. And he's like, okay, I'm taking notes. Yep. Okay, so mask when I'm by myself around no one, and then take it off when I could spread germs. Got it. All right, let's do this, America.
Wait.
I'm sure they were like peering out the door of Air Force One, like, oh man, oh no, he did it again.
He did it again.
it's ridiculous. By the way, while he was over there, he repeated himself where he indicated out loud that these crises at home, specifically in this clip, the gas crisis, which we're all feeling, dear God, so we've got a big truck and we've got a normal sedan car. A sedan car is what we're calling it. But we've got a smaller vehicle. It normally doesn't cost much to fill it up at all. It was like high 60s this week to not even completely fill it. Had like a quarter tank left. Insane. So we're all feeling that. But he's talking about the gas crisis here. And listen to what he says.
When it comes to the gas prices, we're going through an incredible transition that is taking place, that God willing, when it's over, we'll be stronger and the world will be stronger and less reliant on fossil fuels when this is over.
A difficult transition. Guys, I keep saying this. This is all on purpose. Please wake up to that if you have not. It is all on purpose. It is all a part of all the things that they've been telegraphing for a long, long time about what they want to do to America, what they want to do as this globalist group. And you know why? One, because again, they've said it. Two, because for every problem they face, the gas crisis, baby formula crisis, supply chain crisis, fill in the blank, any damn crisis they've created or are dealing with, there are ready-made solutions right there in front. Not like one, like you could do this. It's literally, well, we could fix it this way. We could fix it that way. That would help too. We could do a combination. There's plenty. But when you listen to what they want to do and how they want the world to look, and then you see what's not happening, you see what both what's happening in terms of a crisis and what's not happening in terms of fixing said crisis, it should be clear as day what's happening to you. You look at what's happening in Switzerland this week, this past weekend and this week. It should be clear as day. This is not conspiracy, folks. They are talking about, I hate conspiracy. This is stuff they're actively saying and doing. You're right, Carl, over on YouTube. All planned ahead of time. Trump did get in the way. He was a huge thorn in their side because he exposed who all these people, whether you like Trump or not, you have to recognize. He came in and exposed DC, the global elites, for who they are, what they are, what they're trying to do, what they're trying to do to you and I's freedoms, to you and I's money, to you and I's children, to the nuclear family writ large, to the Constitution, which they don't read or understand. They abuse it every day. He got in the way of that. It's wild. All right, we got a lot more stuff, speaking of wild, to get to today. Everyone smash that like button, whichever platform you're on. Please make sure you are subscribed. You know how to do it on YouTube. You've probably been unsubscribed on YouTube, so if you think you're subscribed, go resubscribe, because odds are they've unsubscribed you. Then click that bell notification, or the bell icon to get notifications, rather. Rumble, make sure you're doing the same thing over there. Plus sign, the boxing glove, if you're on the app, make sure you are subscribed to the channel over there as well. Then this next segment is brought to you by Gold Co. Guys, we are facing wicked inflation, all sorts of financial crises here at home and across the globe. And if you have $50,000 or more in your IRA, 401k savings, you could be at risk. So call Gold Co. at 855-717-3188 or visit goldco.com/Drew to get a free gold IRA kit. You can get $10,000 or more in free silver just for doing it. They've got an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and have helped place nearly $1 billion in precious metals. They know what they're doing, folks. It's free. Call 855-717-3188 or visit goldco.com/Drew. Okay, speaking of things that aren't great, let's talk about Hillary, okay? Let's talk about Hillary. Why not? Someone was just mentioning her over there. And some people are adrenaline addicts, thrive on pushing themselves to the limit to kind of, you know, feel that high. I know this from experience. I have a problem with it myself. It's how I lived my adult life overseas, breaking and bending rules to do things that we probably weren't supposed to do to get the mission done. And I loved it. Life's so boring back here. But near-death experiences can be very invigorating. And the feeling of euphoria lasts for a couple hours, sometimes longer. And it would appear, you're like, where the hell is he going? Because it would appear that Robbie Mook is an extreme adrenaline junkie or has a death wish, because last Friday, during the Sussman trial, Mook threw murder granny Hillary Clinton right in front of a moving bus. I mean, we could do like a breaking news bumper right now and be like, Robbie Mook has been killed. He fell asleep at the wheel and drove off a cliff. He fill in the blank with something else. Was just having a cocktail and then died. I mean,
was found in a bedroom with a noose around his neck.
Yeah, exactly. He was a troubled person. But no, he was Hillary's campaign manager during her failed presidential run. And he dropped a bombshell Friday when he said that Hillary was aware that there was no connection between Trump and the Russian-owned Alpha Bank. And yet she instructed him to release the information anyways. This is why Elon's mad at her. And the Clintons, as you know, have always been masters of the smear. The Democrats as a whole are really damn good at it. But the Clintons are among the best. They say something so outrageous that your opponent gets caught up trying to answer something that's not even true. They're just on the defense. It's like, you know, what we experience now with someone calling you a racist when you're not. You end up trying to defend yourself. And then they've won. It's like someone calling another person a child molester who isn't. That person's going to spend their time trying to prove their innocence. over, again, an unsubstantiated claim, something that's not true. Like, the stigma of allegation in these cases sticks to the person, too. Like, think of Richard Gere. Remember the whole gerbil story? Don't Google it if you didn't. You could get some weird results. It's probably not true, but it's been said enough, right? It's been repeated enough so often that people think it is. That's how they play the game over there. The media pushes stuff out. They repeat it. Trump's bad. America's bad. Everyone's a domestic terrorist. Everyone's a racist, white supremacist. No. No. That's not true. Just because everyone's saying it doesn't make it true. But the smear worked, and the lapdogs in the media dutifully tried to prove that the lie was reality. I mean, hell, seriously, the New York Times won a Pulitzer Prize for their reporting on the supposed collusion between Trump and Russia. Think about that. They won the highest award in journalism based on a lie. No wonder the media has got no credibility left. Then came the Mueller investigation, based solely on a lie from the Clinton campaign. Sound familiar? We all knew it was a sham. Sham investigation from the get-go. Especially when we saw that doddering old fool Mueller testify in front of the congressional panel on voter integrity. You'd think that the Mueller investigators had to know that the Clinton opposition research was fake. But again, that's how the deep state covers for each other. That's how they work. So there must be something else at play. What are the scenarios that make sense here with Mook dropping this bombshell, with Clinton being exposed? Again, she's been exposed. We've all known this forever, but this was another level. This was another, you know, chink on her armor. Either somebody from the Clinton orbit is going to do some prison time and will no doubt be richly rewarded for taking one for the team. It's a possibility. Or Mook's testimony is a shot at the Clintons, letting them know that they aren't the leaders of the party anymore and that they need to kind of step aside, like, your time's over. You've killed a lot of people. You've gotten away with it. You've lied to America. You've gotten away with it. Just go keep Bill chained down because he's going to get into trouble. But, like, go just live out your retirement. It'd be a combination of both. But here's the deal. In either scenario, Robbie Mook, the campaign manager who outed her, will never get a restful night's sleep. Not happening. Never going to eat a meal and wonder if it's not poison. He'll never start his car without the thought of it blowing up. And he'll never be able to fly without thinking the plane might mysteriously crash. He's now, literally, if anyone's doing a pool out there, he's number one pick on everyone's Clinton family death pool. Name someone who's more likely to die. And don't forget, man, maybe it won't happen right now, but don't forget his name. Because this could be the kind of thing where, like, a year or two later, there was some irrelevant campaign staffer that died. And the media will cover it up and they'll move on. No. It all comes back to right now. All comes back to right now. And even with these new revelations, half the country thinks it was necessary to perpetuate that lie. Because Trump had to be stopped. Because, again, they bought into the lies about Trump. Say it loud enough, say it enough times, and people will believe it. And that's how they got to this point where they felt that way about President Trump. Remember, the left believes that the ends justify the means. And when you adopt that mindset, you can justify anything if it's for the greater good. And that includes murder. They play for keeps at all times. And guys, I'll be honest. I get that mindset. Because in my former line of work, most people and things were a means to an end. But I was doing it for our country and for protecting our homeland, keeping attacks away from our people. And I think that that's right, think that's not right, whatever. We can agree to disagree on that. But I understand that mindset. But when it comes into play in a normal setting, I turn that version of Drew off when I'm here at home, or I damn sure try to. That mindset is tough to go against. It's scary, and it's what they do, and it's what they excel at. And it's here in our country. It's here in our government. It's here in your community. So it's, again, if they think it's for the greater good, they're not going to let anything stand in their way. And that's how the left plays. And that's why we are at the point where we are right now, at this time in history, this time in our country's history, this time in across the globe, is because we, on our side, have played so poorly. We've been so weak. We've been so kind, which we are all raised to believe is the right thing. But man, I'm telling you, you've got to see how they play the game, and you've got to be willing to play it back the same way, if not better, more creatively. The truth slipped by Bush was hilarious. That was pretty funny, Jerwison. And thanks, Calm Grandma. I appreciate that. I really do. All right. So watch this Hillary stuff. Look, do I think it's going to change anything? Do I think Hillary Clinton's going to jail? No. I think we live in a broken world where there's no justice for the elite and no justice for Democrats and politicians in general. But it definitely was very interesting. And hopefully, as a win here, the best win would be people start to go down. Half of D.C. goes down. She's been known to say half of D.C. goes down if I go down. But like, that would be amazing. Let's not count on that. What would be great as a starting point is if we just get to the point where another fill-in-the-blank number of people wake up like, oh, crap. All those people who were saying Hillary was lying, and all those people who were making shit up against Trump, about Trump, were right. And they wake up and realize the government's not their friend, and that this radical progressive left party is trying to overhaul our country. If we wake up hundreds, if not thousands, ideally it's tens or hundreds of thousands, but if we wake up in batches each time something like this drops, it's worth it in the end because we have more people aware of what's going on and we can push back by just saying, yeah, no, we're not doing that. This is America. We're free. We don't roll that way.
Well, yeah, and the problem is the people who would say, hey, let's out Hillary here and all that stuff, you know, every politician on Capitol Hill has some kind of dirt behind them that could get them in the same place. You know what I mean? Like different severities and stuff. So of course it's not going to, because everyone's afraid of their own ass, you know, getting caught on something.
Yeah. Thanks, Gail. I appreciate it. Thanks for the comments. Thanks for you guys continuing to engage. We appreciate it. It goes a long way in helping push through some of the algorithms and crap that big tech's trying to do to us. But no, you're right, Disco. And something that is also right is how we know our audience loves their firearms, the Second Amendment. I love my firearms. I know that much. My youngest daughter the other day was trying to convince me not to get more guns because I forget what it even was. She wanted something. I was like, yeah, but that takes away from my gun money. She's like, you don't need any more guns. You don't know what you're talking about. Huh?
After this read, got a proud dad moment, but do the read, and then I want to check
okay.
it real quick.
Okay, so here's the deal. We all want to be confident. We all want to be accurate with our firearms. But to do that, guys, we need regular training. However, with soaring prices, with Joe Biden in the White House, most of us can't get to the range. Most of us can't buy loads of ammunition. But I've got good news for you. Strikeman was developed as a training tool to solve this very problem. With their advanced app and custom laser cartridge, you can practice safely at home without the cost or inconvenience of traditional training at the range. Again, you still need range training, but this is a huge additive, a huge game-changing supplemental type of training for you. You can save on costly trips to the range. You can conserve your ammunition, keep it at home for when you need it. Train effectively, all in the comfort of your own home, in your pajamas if you want. I'll stop there. But try it risk-free for 15 days. If it doesn't improve your accuracy, they will refund you in full. And for the month of May, you can try it for just $79 with promo code TRAININGDAY at strikeman.io. Again, strikeman.io. Use promo code TRAININGDAY. Okay, so what's your proud papa story?
So we're over at a friend's house, and we get all the kids get water guns. So they all run to the kitchen and they start filling it up and they're like, we're going to the park, and they're all running out. It's like one after another, and all the kids, they have their finger right on the trigger and everything, and they're walking out. My two girls walk out and they got their fingers straight, you know. And I'm like, I love the trigger discipline, like you keep it up, girls. And they're 7 and 4 and they're just sitting there, and I'm like, That's right. You don't put that finger in there until you're ready to destroy that target. And the other dads are just like looking at me and they're laughing. I'm like, well, you got to teach them while they're young, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Your kids are going to kill someone at the range.
Yeah.
No, I love it. I love it. That's awesome. Good job. That's strong parenting right there. All right. Then as it pertains to Ukraine and global war, let's move on to this stuff. So we've been listening to DOD officials and people from intel agencies openly talk about how we, the United States, is at war with Russia through the Ukrainians, you know, kind of using them as proxies, which seems like we're kind of openly taunting the Russians, right? Hey, we're not really there, but we're there, and we're using or we're sending stuff to kill your people. And the taunting's ramped up even more with the U.S. talking about helping the Ukrainians destroy the Russian Navy. You heard that right. So we've bragged about, as a recap, a lot of things, but most notably bragged about helping sink their flagship cruiser. I mean, there's no words for how dumb that is when you, in theory, would not want, if you were a smart person, which these people are not, you would not want things to escalate into a world war. You wouldn't go and sink somebody's cruiser. But now there's talk, not certainty, but there is talk about helping them destroy the Russian Navy. This is from an article in the New York Post. You can go read it. The U.S. is working on a plan to destroy the Black Sea Fleet with powerful missiles in order to unblock Ukraine's ports, this according to a high-ranking Ukrainian official. The effective work of the Ukrainians on warships convinced the U.S. to prepare a plan to unblock the ports. This is according to the Ukrainian official, the U.S. is planning an attack on the Russian Navy. Which, you know, if you just pause for a second and think about that, planning an attack on the Russian Navy, that would lead you to believe, if you didn't already think we were, that we're at war with Russia, right? That's kind of how that sounds, how that jives. And you've got the Ukrainian Ministry of Internal Affairs advisor, Anton Gerashenko, who tweeted Friday, quote, deliveries of powerful anti-ship weapons, meaning harpoon and naval strike missile with a range of, according to him, 250 to 300 kilometers, are being discussed. Gerashenko's saber-rattling tweet, which was written in Russian and followed by an exclusive report by Reuters saying that the White House is in the process of putting more advanced missiles in the hands of Ukrainians to defeat Russia's naval blockade in the Black Sea. So now you've got the White House using Ukrainian officials, Gerashenko in this case, to taunt Russia by letting them know exactly what type of involvement the U.S. is engaged with in the war effort. It goes without saying, though, I'm going to anyways, that this is incredibly dangerous for the world. Russia's just been put on blast that America's going to try and destroy its navy. I mean, think about this. I'm not defending Russia. I'm not on Team Russia, but I'm not on Team Biden either. I mean, what would America do if another country said that they were going to destroy our Navy? And to answer that hypothetical question, you'll have to do some things in your mind. You're going to have to insert a president and a political party that actually likes America and its citizens. Okay, so do that. Make that change. And then in that scenario, we would strike first. We'd send a message. That's not how this administration works, though. Russia's backed into a corner, and now we're getting punked with the threat of getting their navy destroyed, or they're getting punked, excuse me, with the threat of their navy being destroyed in the Black Sea. And there's some people in D.C. who want war, and they are hell-bent on this war happening. But there's some who think that this kind of a plan, taking this approach, is a good idea, and that, don't worry, Russia's not going to do anything. They're not going to retaliate. Y'all, this is a very dangerous game that the alt-left and our warmonger rhinos are playing. For the past 2 months, Ukraine's been unable to ship out grain, other agricultural products because of the blockade, raising the possibility of catastrophic food shortages around the world, and especially developing countries in Africa and Asia. And if you believe Klaus and the World Economic Forum, that's what they want. That's their goal. Famine. The world's in a very delicate situation, and people we never elected are starting to gain traction, and they're becoming empowered, trying to take control over our freedoms. Getting back to the New York Post article, though, real quick, it went on to report that three U.S. officials and two congressional sources speaking on the condition of anonymity said that the Harpoon and naval strike missiles were being considered either for direct shipment to Ukraine or through a transfer from a European ally. Excuse me. Can't talk. As if Russia couldn't figure that out with their intel apparatus and contacts in the region. Nope, that wasn't us. That came from Poland. Promise it wasn't us. But there are current and former U.S. officials that have raised concerns about the prospect of supplying Ukraine with longer range and more powerful weapons, including extensive training requirements, maintenance issues, the concerns that high-powered missiles could be captured by Russian forces, and or, guys, how about just the fact that it could spark World War III? Just saying. But why are U.S. officials talking at all about weapons systems that are being sent overseas? And if you're going to talk about it, for you three Pentagon officials and two congressional sources, identify yourself. Be an adult. Stand up. Sound like a tattletale when you're an elected politician who's leaking information to the media. But sadly, there's more rat-faced anti-American politicians than ones with conviction and character. I mean, even some of the former military vets that turned into politicians, that ran for office, many of which maybe started with the right mindset or the right purpose and set of ideals, they've a lot of them morphed into elitist sellouts, craving more power, more control, playing the game in D.C. And as we discuss potential war with Russia, or more openly declared war, shall we say, don't forget about China, because Joe sure didn't. Take a listen to him on his trip.
You didn't want to get involved in the Ukraine conflict militarily for obvious reasons. Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?
Yes.
You are.
That's the commitment we made.
Okay. All right. That's a commitment that you've made in your head, which astonishingly, he's gotten right three times in a row now. He's stayed on the same tune. He's kept the same rhetoric. And he's implied that three times. I think it was August and October, and then now this week. But what's funny and embarrassing and scary and depressing and all of those words all at the same time is that for a third time, the White House walked back his comments. What did Joe say? No. That is not the policy of the United States. That's not the policy of the Biden administration. That is not actually run by Biden. It's confusing. We're running it. His name, Kamala's name are on the ticket, but we don't listen to them. They don't actually know what's going on. So for a third time, it gets walked back, adding to the growing list of reasons that the world's laughing at us. The president's not even allowed to speak on behalf of his own administration or the Democrat Party. And our military brass isn't helping on that front. Because as he's making us the laughingstock, weakening us here, trying to do so many things to overhaul, again, he's not, but being used as a tool for the radical progressive left to overhaul how we do things as a country, our military is going the wrong direction. As we've talked about ad nauseum, they're trying to drive out our real warriors, purge it of people who are in there for the right reasons, and get more willing peasants who are willing to just do the bidding of the left. And the military is one of the last institutions that the left hadn't corrupted until now, until COVID, until this administration, and until things like, you know, the white rage and the woke and the gender identity and the critical race theory training, all that stuff going on, kicking people out, grounding SEAL teams for not getting the vaccine. And then stuff like this. The U.S. Army is now considering adopting a policy called compassionate reassignment. Sick. And what that, some of you are like, what the hell are you talking about? Okay, well, what that is the policy would let soldiers request a transfer to a different area if they feel that state or local laws discriminate against them because of their gender or we can suppose their gender of the day, whatever they believe they are that day. Again, there's two. You're one or the other. So let me read that again. The policy would let soldiers request a transfer to a different area if they feel state or local laws discriminate against them because of their gender. Compassionate reassignment sounds like a program that would be found on some like uber woke college campus, right? Some Ivy League school. Not the U.S. Army. In addition to gender, sex, religion, race, or pregnancy could also be cited as discriminatory by the service member looking to move. This policy would apply to countries that have open hostilities towards gender and sexual orientation. Or would it, I guess, would be the question. And the answer to that is, of course not, because that would be viewed as being intolerant of local cultural norms. If you're talking about a Middle Eastern country, a South Asian country. But if you're here and you're in Tennessee or Virginia or California or Ohio or Florida or Georgia, it would fall into this. Because for the left, I mean, America's always the problem. Other countries are the victims. That's why there's no tolerance by the left for anything that they disagree with. Why? Because they like control. They need control. The left has always have, you know, they've got to come up with like an impending emergency that needs immediate attention and forfeiture of your rights, or at least some of your rights. But they do it, right? Because they got to keep you safe. No, we're doing this for you. This is for you. It's not for us. It's for you. No, it's not. Never. The Military Times reported the policy would let soldiers declare that certain states are too racist, too homophobic, too sexist, or otherwise discriminatory, to be able to live there safely and comfortably. How can you have a military that accepts the premise that there are some states in the country that are racist and mean towards minorities, towards people who identify this way or that way, and it's okay for you not to live there? Why would anyone defend a country that has states that were unjust? States that are hateful, according to them. I mean, it makes no sense. Does nothing for military readiness, which, of course, is extremely important, used to be at least. The article went on, though, saying that some states are becoming untenable to live in. There's a rise in hate crimes and rise in LGBT discrimination, Lindsay Church said, who's the executive director of Minority Veterans of America. She complained about that. She went on to say, in order to serve this country, people need to be able to do their job and know their families are safe. All of these states get billions for bases, but barely, tolerate a lot of the service members. So what she's saying is that American states are more dangerous for soldiers and their families than foreign countries, which is, of course, absurd. It's not true. She has no clue what's going on. She doesn't live in reality, but she also doesn't seem to have a clue or understanding about what the military is and what it's used for. This is just another way for the left to protest state laws that they disagree with. It has nothing to do with military readiness, nothing to do with what the military is. Because don't be mistaken, the military is meant to leave a trail of smoking ruins, crying widows. It's not a safe space. It's not a place for cry rooms and people that are triggered can go over here. No. You're there to protect our country, to kill enemies. If that is not your focus, if that is not your reason for being a part of it, then you did the wrong thing. You joined the wrong organization, chose the wrong career path. This is my favorite quote, though, from the article by Jacob Thomas, who's the communications director for Common Defense. He said that troops can't be forced to live in places where they aren't seen as fully human. So that would eliminate every Middle Eastern country on the planet. Also, a reminder, although you could say that there's plenty of other reasons and parts of it, boot camp is, in one sense, set up to dehumanize the recruits right from the get-go. Retrain them mentally, physically. So this guy, Jacob Thomas, it seems even dumber than Miss Church, who we just talked about a second ago. These people, the left writ large, has no grip on reality. It's all about control and controlling every aspect of your life. Nothing less. And sadly, it's just not surprising that we're here. I mean, you've got people like, there's a clip we'll show tomorrow with Austin, who's desperate to get us into World War III, despite whatever he says. But none of this should be surprising when you've got the likes of General Milley and Lloyd Austin running things. It's a sad and scary time where we are. America last as usual indeed, Court. Hey, Jill. Good to see you. All right, folks. It is the end of hour one. We've got tons of stuff to hit on in this next hour. What's going on in Davos? Got some AOC to talk about. We've got some other stuff that I don't know how to even describe, but you just got to see it. So just bear with me. You'll know what I'm talking about when we get there. But for you folks on legacy social media, this is the end of the road. If you're listening to the podcast, it is as well. You can get the rest of the show, the second hour, over on Rumble. You can go to rumble.com/Drew Berquist. You can go to the Rumble app and search Drew Berquist. You will find it. Please hit that like button on the way out, and we'll see you after a quick break over on Rumble. I will paste it, by the way, for the rest of you here.
Hey, we like you, but if you're on legacy social media, your live feed pretty much ends now. Continue watching today's live episode and engaging on Rumble. Go to rumble.com/Drew Berquist. Again, that's rumble.com/Drew Berquist.